Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
Welcome to The Interactive Journey. If this is your first time joining us, hello and welcome. It's about time. However, if you have been with us before, we are really glad to have you back. I'm Rachel. I'm one of your co-hosts. We also have Logan. Go ahead.
I'm Megan.
And today we are lucky to finally get to meet and speak with Johanna Burke. Johanna is first and foremost a mother. And one of her children is an adult with special needs. And I will fully admit that I stalked you, Johanna. Now I'm going to speak to you. I stalked you on Facebook.
I did. Rachel is a bit of a stalker. Yes,
I do.
It's research.
And you would think I have all this time on my hands, but I don't. I notice what, like, I'm sure as you guys are part of a lot of Facebook groups, anything and everything related to special needs and special education, you know, I'm on it. And I love reading the, you know, the posts that people, you know, the questions that people ask, whatever they say, but my favorite part is the comments. That's really what I focus on. I got Megan and Logan, if you know, you ever need to know my secret, that's really my secret, is who comments and what are they saying and what's their tone and what's their attitude. So somebody posted a few months ago that they needed help, that they had a couple of questions and that they were looking for, I'm not sure if it was specifically an advocate or an attorney. And Johanna, you jumped right on. You're like, yep, reach out to me, contact me, here's my website. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I just liked that. here's my number, call me. So in my, you know, further stalking abilities, I went on your website and I saw all of these amazing things about you. And I mean, I knew immediately that we had to talk to you.
Thank you.
So welcome to Johanna. Welcome, Johanna, to The Interactive Journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Those are very, very kind words. I'm so very happy to be here with all of you.
Glad to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, where should I start? So I'm going to start first and foremost. I'm the mother to a severely autistic 19-year-old nonverbal son who has severe verbal apraxia, epilepsy, a severe immunodeficiency disease called DiGeorge syndrome, bipolar depression, severe sensory integration disorder, severe anxiety, severe OCD, and severe global apraxia. Aiden is my hero because he has to wake up every day, and I'm going to start to cry, every day and live in our world, and he can't communicate with anyone and tell anyone how he feels. So Aiden is the reason I do what I do. I am a special needs attorney. I have my own private practice that I started up in 2013 part-time. And I decided to go full-time in October of 2020. So I've been doing this for the past 2 years, and I'm very blessed to say that my practice is thriving and flourishing, and I get to help so many families like mine because I live it. I get it. I know what they're going through. I've been doing it. My son's going to be 20 in February, 20 years on this journey. And I know all the ins and outs of the system. I know the commissioner of DCF, the Division of Children and Family Services. I know the commissioner of the Division of Developmental Disabilities, Jonathan Seyfried. I know the head of the Children's System of Care. I know how to get the services that these families are entitled to because I had all the services in my house for my son, Aiden. My practice consists of residential group home placements. I actually help families place their kids who are in dire need of a crisis bed placement in a group home or a long-term placement in a group home. And I do this because my son, Aiden, unfortunately, I could not be the primary caregiver and take care of him 24/7 anymore. And I had a younger son, and I had a husband at the time with a severe disability, and I was working two jobs at the time, and Aiden never slept through the night, and he would have his grandma seizures in the middle of the night. So at 15 years old, I had to make the most difficult and hardest decision of my life and put him in a group home. And I am happy to say that he is thriving and flourishing and is safe, healthy, and happy. And that's all I can ask for as a mother. He is a miracle story. You don't hear good stories of kids going into a group home. My son is 5'4 and was 264 pounds when he entered the group home. And that's because he would chase me around the house and attack me if I didn't feed him. That was his thing. And he would eat two boxes of Eggo blueberry waffles at a time. He had a very limited diet. When he went to the group home, whatever they put in front of him, he had to eat. And they did portion control. And that kid eats every single food they put in front of him. Like, I am blown away. I mean, vegetables, fruits, chicken teriyaki, lasagna. I'm like, you blow me away, Aiden. And so he lost all that weight, and he's like a different person. And he not just because he's my kid. He looks like a model. He's so handsome. He has a million-dollar smile that lights up a room. He learned to communicate on a talker for the first time in his life when he was 18. No one in any school, any speech therapist could get my son to communicate. He goes to one of the top schools, I believe, in southern New Jersey. He lives in Sicklerville, which is 2 hours away from me. And he goes to Durand Academy. Mm-hmm. And his team of therapists are the best team I've ever seen and he's ever had. And that speech therapist was able to get my son to go in that talker and navigate pages and tell us how he feels for the first time in 18 years.
Wow.
He has 20 icons on his talker. And they say everything from sad, good, happy, thirsty, hungry, I'm proud of myself, anything you can think of. And every day I tell his teacher, I want you to ask him how he feels. And every day they send me a template email of how his day was, and they tell me how he feels. And it's the most amazing thing in the entire world. And when he has a speech session, she does it too. And she sends, he has speech 3 times a week, and she sends me a weekly email and she asks him how he feels. And then she tells me specifically what he works on during his sessions. Mm-hmm. For the first time, January 2021, Aiden is at his group home, and the staff are supposed to work with him with the talker. And mm-hmm. I FaceTime him every day so I can see him because I'm 2 hours away. And I can only go once a week to visit him for a few hours. And he has lots of pages, you know, on his talker that he's able to navigate now. And there's one page that says, you know, what do you want to say to mommy, or what do you want to tell mommy? And he said, I love you for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
In 18 years. And I just burst into tears in a circle because I'd been waiting 18 years to hear him tell me that. And I'm sorry. It's still, you know, every time I think about it, you know, that kid is just, he's amazing. He's a miracle. And he's full of unexpected miracles, because never in my life would I think he'd be able to tell me that. So I truly believe, I don't care if he's 30, if he's 25. He lost all his words when he was 5 years old. And he had 50 words. And I wish I could have recorded it, because I don't remember what his voice sounds like. And now his voice is just sounds. And I could figure out what the happy sounds are and what the unhappy sounds are. So I hope and I pray, and I know that one day a word is going to slip out. Mm-hmm. And I videotape him, and I post it on Facebook, on my personal page, and on my legal page. and friends, they follow me because I've been documenting Aiden's journey since I was able to get on Facebook. We didn't have Facebook when he was diagnosed with autism. We're the old time moms. You know, we did everything on our own. We had nobody to help us. And, you know, I did all the research. I tried all the therapies, blah, 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 blah. So when I post videos of him, I don't hear it sometimes, but my friends, they'll comment and say, he said, mom. He said, mom. He's talking to you. He said, mom. And I'm like, wow, maybe I'm just so used to the sounds that I don't hear it, but people swear that he's saying sounds. So I know it's going to come back. I know. I feel it in my heart. It's going to come out. And he's going to be able to communicate more. My goal is to have him to be able to type. My son has very, very low muscle tone in his hands. He really can't do anything. You know, he can't defend himself. He can't, you know, but you know, that's my hope. And, you know, I could talk about my son for hours and hours and hours, but the whole point was that Aiden's story in the group home is a miracle story. And that's not to say there's bad things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because bad things happened to him this year that I'm trying to get over. And this is why residential group home placements are so close to my heart and helping. I call them all my kids because I want to make sure they're safe where they are and they're getting the appropriate services. I have 14 clients right now that I'm trying to get into group homes or already are in group homes, and I'm their attorney. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but I have a reputation in this state now. And when they see my name, because there really aren't any other attorneys who do what I do in the state and who get it because they have a severely autistic child. So that's one of my main focuses. I also do special education law. And that's another big part of my practice. You know, I do due process complaints, mediation, court hearings, the whole spiel. I do bullying issues if somebody's being bullied. Another part of my practice is guardianships. So I help with guardianships because I've gone through that with my son. I also have a stepson who has severe autism and is the same age as my son and lives in a group home 15 minutes from Aiden. And that's my second husband I married. And it's kind of like meant to be. Like, we connected. He called me to hire me as his lawyer. And I know.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my God. I love
it. We live in the same town. And I never knew who he was. He never knew me. Our kids were in the same autism program in the same school.
Wow.
Just cray cray.
Johanna, that's crazy.
It is. And
it's meant to be. Oh.
And he was married 18 years. I was married 19 years. And, you know, that you just there because I needed an extra body to help take care of my two kids. I had two kids. And, you know, so, yeah, I just got married last year in Vegas by Elvis. And it was awesome. Yeah. I digress though, but and my other part, another part of my practice is helping families get all the services they need from the state. And that's Perform Care. That's the Children's System of Care, the Division of Children and Family Services, and the Division of Developmental Disabilities. There's so many families who don't know what they're entitled to.
Yeah. So how do you help them with that? Like, I hear what you're saying, because I feel like people don't always even know what's available to them, let alone how do I navigate that? How do you help support?
So here's the problem. You have to call and register with Perform Care. You have to ask for a needs assessment. New families don't know what a need to ask for this. You have to ask for a needs assessment. They come out, they assess your kid at your house. Then you get assigned a care management organization, a CMO, Then they assign you a case manager. That case manager is your point of contact until your kid turns 21 to provide you with all the services you're entitled to from the state. You're entitled to respite care. You're entitled to behavioral services during the week. You're entitled to, I think it's IIC or IAC. There's so many friggin' initials. Yes. A therapist to come in and help your child with ADLs, daily living skills. I mean, I had in my house a therapist in my house 7 days a week, 4 to 5 hours a day, and that's unheard of because mm-hmm. other families do not know what they're entitled to. But I do because I did it and I lived right. it. And I get on, you know, I get on calls with these CMOs and some of them, they don't tell families anything. No. Nothing. And I have one of my clients, they're like, oh, what, we're discharging you. There's nothing else we can do for you. And I'm like, what? I go, there's so many things you have to do for them, you know?
Like, here's a list.
You know? And so I've been working. This is how I know what they need and how to get it for them. I've been working collaboratively with the commissioner of DCF and the commissioner of DDD and the head of CSOC for the past 10 years. They know who Aiden Burke is and they know who I am. So I've built up a really good rapport with them, working relationship. And so my clients go to the top of the list. My clients who are waiting for a crisis bed or a group home, you know, there's 6,000 to 7,000 people on a wait list. My kids go to the top of the list and my kids get placed within 2 to 3 months as opposed to 2 to 5 years.
Well, because probably because, you know, they know that you're serious. They know that you know what you're talking about, that yeah. your clients really are in need. Not that everyone's in need. I don't mean it that way, but there right. are levels of severity, I'm sure, that have to influence that.
Oh my God. If I showed you pictures of some of my clients mm-hmm. in crisis, you would cry. You would vomit, the self-injurious behaviors, the bashing of heads through walls, property destruction. I mean, and this is happening all over the state, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm only able to help a handful. I wish I could help all of them. You know, mm-hmm. I don't turn down any client that comes to me if I know I can help them. Mm-hmm. I can't. Like I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, oh my God, I have so many clients. You know, I have 90 active clients right now and I'm a one woman show and they all want me.
Right.
I don't want, like, my husband's like, bring in somebody and train them. I'm like, no, they're not going to want to talk to that person because I live it. I get it. You know, I talk my clients off the edge. I let them vent to me. I wish I had somebody like that when my son was first diagnosed, you know, and I'm available to them 24/7. You know, my cell phone is my business number, so they can text me. They can call me. I've taken emergency phone calls at 11 o'clock at night. I've emailed the commissioner of DDD at 11 o'clock at night saying my kid. I think of them all as my kids. This kid is being abused and neglected. His arm was broken. The group home didn't tell the parents. They went, they showed up, they took him to the hospital, you know, and I fly off the handle, but it gets done, you know? So I don't turn away. I only turn away people when I know I can't help them because I don't need their money. You know how many attorneys in the state are ripping off these families? Mm-hmm. And you know how many, I mean, because they tell me. Because when I tell them my rate, they're like, really? They're like, we talked to this other lawyer who wanted twice as much as you. And they aren't going to give me back any retainer if we don't use it. I'm like, what? Right. You know? And it's horrible. So, you know, I get it. I was financially distraught. I was in a shitload of debt, you know, when I had Aiden at home. Yeah, I even give the clients, breaks. I set up monthly payment plans if they can't afford the whole thing up front. So, yeah, so I gotta say I love what I do. I'm very, very passionate about what I do. I, for the first time in my life, I like getting up in the morning and doing my job because I hated being an attorney, and this is God's honest truth. You know, since I graduated from law school at 25 up until I was 51, I'm 53, I'll be 54. So 25 years, I didn't want to practice law.
What were you doing before? What kind of law?
So when I got out of law school, I clerked. I was a judicial law clerk for a family division judge who had cancer, thyroid cancer. He was in his early 40s. He had two little boys, and I loved him. You know, he was such a wonderful man, and I saw him die. And he died, and they took me to his house so I could say goodbye to him. That's how much I loved him. So anyway, then they moved me to the criminal division, and I worked there, which was cool. I got to sit in on murder trials and everything. I didn't really have to do anything. I just sat and watched what was going on. After that, I couldn't find a job. This was 1997, 98. I mean, there was a shitload of attorneys, excuse my French, bad potty mouth, in the state, you know, and I couldn't find a job. And then at that time, I met my first husband, and I went into other things. I have a undergraduate degree in business administration in accounting. So I've got a solid degree behind me. So I went to work for companies doing that kind of stuff. I worked with Bertelsmann Music Group, and I was a contract manager in their royalty department. So all the contracts would come in, and I would make sure Alicia Keys or Elvis's estate was getting paid the right money. I love numbers. Math was my thing in schools. So I did that. Then I went to Pearson Education, one of the top publishing companies in the state. Mm-hmm. And that was the most amazing job for me at the time because I was able to work 8:30 to 4:30 and go home and take care of my kids and take care of everything. And yeah, I was not an attorney. I was a contract manager again. In higher education. I monitored the processing of a book from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good time in my life because I was able to do everything I needed to do with Aiden and my younger son. So I left that job right before I got divorced in 2018. And I went to Panasonic in the legal department. I thought, oh, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm going to be corporate legal counsel for this big-ass corporation. Wrong. I was so miserable. I used to pull into the parking lot and puke and cry before I walked into the building. And I was making a lot of money, right? I thought, oh, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do with my law degree. I had to stick it out, right, until COVID hit. And then they laid me off. And I was like, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. And so I was home. And I needed to decide what I wanted to do with my life. And it was a very dark, dark period for me, 2020, a really dark period. And I decided in October 2020, I'm going to go back to my legal practice because I let it go for 3 years because I just didn't have it in me to fight anymore. And I hit it hard and I was scared. You know, I told my mom, well, what if I don't get any clients? She's like, Joe, you're going to get so many clients and you're going to be able to help so many people. And from her mouth to God's ears, she was right. And I am so blessed to do what I do every day, because every good thing that happens to one of my client's kids makes my heart feel happy. It makes me feel like, I really feel like they're my kids. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I came to love law again. I used to tell my mother, for my 50th birthday, framed my diploma. I didn't want to look at my diploma for 25 years. I said, burn it. It's 100% and I don't want to use it. And she was like, you're going to want it someday and blah, blah, blah. And my mother was right. You know, I actually am happy being a lawyer because of Aiden coming into my life. And because of me being his voice and what I can do to help all these families in the state. And I'll keep doing that, you know, until I have no breath left in me.
That's amazing that you're able to provide such advocacy, you know, and use your law degree for something that you're passionate about and hits so close to home. There is something I wanted to ask you about. When you talked about having to make the decision for residential placement for your son, mm-hmm. I'm sure you also help other families with that decision too. How do you help them to navigate that? We've worked with some individuals who have some pretty significant needs, and because Rachel and I have both worked in residential previously, we can see the good that can come from it and really try to share that, but it's different. I'm not a parent of someone who is in that situation and going into a residential. How can you help them if that is something they're interested in, but maybe not ready to make the commitment or go down that road fully?
I talk them through it. You know, I do 30-minute free consults, and they'll email me and I'll say, you know, give me a short summary of what your issue is. And they want to talk about group home placement. Mm-hmm. And I ask, I need to know every detail about their child, you know, what's going on, this and that. And then I walk them through the entire process of exactly what I did to get Aiden placed in residential and what I do now to get my clients placed in residential. Because some of these parents think it's a facility, a group home. I'm like, no, it's a regular house. It's a house with four bedrooms. They have their own bedrooms, a big living room, a family room. My son has like a 50-foot backyard with commercial swing sets and a basketball hoop playing thing shit. So I had to do that with my husband because I'm the one that got his son into a group home. And he was like, where's he going? I don't know. And I went with him and his wife at the time to look at the group home.
Oh, that's so funny.
I can tell you stories, girls, but I'm not going to tell it on this podcast. It's not appropriate. but yeah, like I tell them my story of how it worked and how I did it. And this is a really big part. I tell my clients and I have really personal family friends. I'm their attorney. And this one, I just got placed in the only residential placement in the state, one placement for those with the highest level of severe behaviors in the state. And there's a waiting list of 4 years, and I got two of my clients in there this year. And I said to her, and I had talked to her years before because he was just like Aiden. And I said, she's like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know to do this. I don't want to do this. I said, listen, you have to get it to your breaking point, right? You have to get to the point where you cannot physically get up and do it, and you cannot mentally do it anymore. And that's where I was. I was going to have a nervous breakdown and be hospitalized if the state did not place my son. And they placed my son in 10 days. Mm. 10 days. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
10 days. And this was 4.5 years ago. But I said, that's the point you got to get to. And you got to get to the point where you have to do it for their best interest. My son was miserable at the end with me. We were both miserable in the house. It was just, if I showed you a picture of us before he went into the group home, it's just sadness and haggardness and tiredness. That's the point you got to get to. That is the point you have to get to. And I tell these potential clients, you need, sometimes the husband doesn't want to do it. Sometimes the wife doesn't want to do it. I go, you got to really think about this. This is a huge decision for you to make. You have to think about what's in the best interest of your child. You cannot be selfish with your emotions. You cannot. You cannot. And that's the main thing I tell them. I go, you are not doing that child any good by keeping them at home for you so you can see them every day.
Right.
And you know, that's what I do. I'm very honest. If you haven't figured it out, I'm very direct, very honest. I tell it like it is, and this is how I am with all my clients, and they like that. You know, I'm not giving you legal gibberish and using these big ass words because, you know, that's not what I do. Nobody understands that shit. And I talk just like this to them. I don't use foul language unless they like to use it. So
it's really on the questionnaire.
I'm like, can you believe what they? It's just, you know, cray cray. But yeah. So that's that. I mean, no, you guys are seeing me on a Zoom, right? And
right.
The people listening, they can only hear my voice. Look at me. Would you think I was a lawyer?
Just so you guys know, we're looking at gorgeous tattoos.
I mean, when I walk around town, you know, I walk around like this. First of all, 65 degrees outside. I'm having hot flashes because I'm 53. The air conditioner's on. I put a sweater on to cover, and I'm like, I can't. I'm sweating while I'm talking to you. No, I'm out at the post office. And I'm mailing stuff. And I'm very social. I talk to anybody, if you can't tell. So there's a guy waiting behind me. And he's like, oh, I'm the owner of such and such restaurant across the street. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Blackjack Mulligans, blah, blah, blah. And we started talking. And he's like, oh, what do you do for a living? I go, oh, I'm a lawyer. And he's like, are you kidding me? He goes, you've got, I would never, ever say you were a lawyer. I'm like, gee, thanks.
I'm a good one.
I don't want to look like your typical lawyer. You know, because most lawyers, and I don't care who hears this, are stuck up, condescending, and think because they have one of the top degrees in the country that they are God and better than anyone. I am not better than anyone else. You know, I just happen to have a degree, you know, that I worked very hard for so that I can utilize it. And I'm blessed to utilize it for my son and the special needs population.
Well, to go back to your parents, so tell us about your tattoo.
All right. So there's a story for everyone. Now, this is the Superman tattoo with autism puzzle pieces. And this is for Aiden, because Aiden is my hero. And nobody can understand that. When they saw me, they would be like, oh, you're Superwoman. And I'm like, I'm not Superwoman. This is for my son, Aiden. He's my hero. So I just got this one. And this says, Aiden, my hero. So now people know that it's for Aiden. This one are the autism puzzle pieces. And this is my favorite song of all time, Living on a Prayer. I'm a huge, huge Bon Jovi fan since I was 13.
Where is the girl? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is for my new husband, Frank.
Oh.
Aw. You had to show him some love.
I did. And he hates tattoos, girls. He's like, you're not getting another tattoo. I'm like, yes, I am. So this is for Aiden. So every time I miss him and I need strength, I look down at my wrist and I get my strength from him. This one I got this year. This is passionate fighter, relentless hope. And that's what I am about. I am a passionate fighter. I am relentless. And you always have to have hope. If you don't have hope, you have nothing. You have nothing. Even if you don't feel it on one day, that's okay. But the next day, you get up and pick up yourself and you fight again and you have your hope. Mm-hmm. I have other tattoos, but I can't show you. I have a huge Bon Jovi logo tattoo on my right leg.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
I have a small flower tattoo on my ankle, my other ankle, and I have a tramp stamp across my back.
That's great.
How do you not have your own podcast? I mean, not that you have any time for it, but
do you think I would be out there on the podcast?
Yes. Actually, I think you could just do your own. Yeah. You don't even need guests. Right. You just do.
Yep. Just start
20 minutes. Johanna Burke, this is what I got to say for the day.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, this was my day. The end.
I thought about doing that, you know.
I have to be honest. We usually interject more. We really do. Megan's very, very good at asking questions. And this is probably one of the first times we really did sit back and just listen because, yes, you're engaging. Yes, you're interesting and things like that. But all of these things that you're saying are so important for so many people to hear, whether you have a child with special needs or not, whether you're in the field or not, just as another human to hear about one person's, you know, struggles, and how you rose above. I love the fact that you got this law degree. I mean, that's a dream come true for a lot of people, right? And you almost didn't want it. Like, there was a period of your life you were like, I want to burn my degree. I mean, my piece of paper. Like, and then to see where you are now and without that, having gone through that and that piece of paper, I'm sure you regretted it for many years. And now, thank God you did that. Thank God you had that, because that is why you're able to help not just your own children, but all of these other children that you have, you know, adopted basically as your own. Mm-hmm. This is why we started this podcast. You are the reason why we started this podcast, because we wanted to hear about their journeys. We wanted to hear about the struggles that you had, you know, before you were even a mother, you know, to get to where you are right now, because we work with so many individuals who, yes, they want to, you know, this is very helpful to anybody who's not sure what career they even want, or just in life in general, just to hear from someone like, yeah, it's not a straight and narrow path. Mm-mm. Yeah, you don't start off in your 20s or before or wherever and, you know, just like kind of lead this perfect life. It takes you in all these twists and turns. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have hope, like you said, and can you say again the other parts of your tattoo, the last one? It was hope?
Relentless.
Relentless hope. I mean, that really is what it does take for us to kind of get through this, whatever you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate you just, you know, you sharing and talking and giving Megan a break from having to ask the whole bunch of questions.
Come on, Megan, ask me a few questions.
I want to know, like, what advice would you give to someone young, someone who has younger children? You know, maybe like a school age type of children. What's something, some kind of advice that you would feel would be really important for them?
For a special needs child? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I would say to them, don't try to change your child. Accept them for who they are and love them. And you can go ahead and try all these therapies, because I did that. And I learned, you know, certain therapies don't work. And the more therapies you have doesn't mean they're going to get any better. Doesn't mean that it's going to take away their disability. Mm-hmm. And that took me a long time to realize, to accept that this is where my son is. Mm-hmm. You know, love them. Love them. They are not their disability. They are a human being who just needs love.
I think that goes for anybody. I think that goes for any child, especially a child with special needs. Really, any child with all the struggles that they go through. You had mentioned that you work with situations involving bullying. That affects just about every kid. I mean, whether you're the bully or the one being bullied or an observer, and you are coming into contact with that all the time.
Absolutely.
Our local high school right now, I don't know what is going on with the girls.
Girls are tough, mean.
Fights all the time.
What?
Yeah, I have a friend who works in the disciplinary office, and she and my son, I'm watching the two of them talk, and he said, how about all the things this year with all the girl fights? Yeah, and their mouths, very, very, I mean, you know, we can all curse a little bit, but it really foul stuff coming out.
I'd kill my daughter. I have two sons. Right. But if she did that, that would be it. It would be the old-fashioned Italian way. I'm Italian. Don't let Burke. That's my married name. I'm 100% Italian. That's why my kids all look like me.
Strong genes. You know. Yeah.
But yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it's so sad when they do it to the special needs kids. Like the kids who are high functioning, but they have their little quirks, and they're the ones that get picked on. I mean, and it's the parents. Why aren't the parents teaching their kids to have compassion and respect for kids with special needs? You know?
They're human not. Human decency, not, right? Just be human, absolutely. Kind.
Yeah. Kind. I mean, what let's face it. When we grew up, when I grew up, you know, 50 years ago, back in the 70s, it was a different generation. It was a different time of parenting as opposed to now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see it. I didn't touch upon this, but I'm going to tell you something personal that I didn't say. You know, I have a younger son, and I've been mentioning him. Mm-hmm. My youngest son is 2 years younger than Aiden, and I always had to be the primary caregiver for Aiden. And I tried to make my youngest son's life as normal as possible. But I couldn't take him anywhere. I couldn't take him on vacations. Mm-hmm. So I formed a bond between him and my husband at that time. And I made my husband take him on vacation every year. And I made him take him out to dinner to restaurants. And I made him take him out to places, right? And so that built a big bond. When I said I wanted a divorce, my youngest son was 13. And his father brainwashed him against me. And so even though I had visitation according to the divorce, his father let a 13-year-old to decide when he wanted to see me. So I have missed out on the past 4.5 years of my youngest son's life because his father let him decide when he wanted to see me. He's just turned 18. In the past 4.5 years, and I'm going to start to cry, I've only seen him maybe 10 times for 5 minutes. I'm not allowed to go into the house where I raised him. I have to stand on the front steps, and it has to be when he wants to see me. And it is something that I live with every day on top of everything else. Because my youngest son lives 5 minutes away. Oh, and, you know, he's in high school. He's a senior. He's going to graduate next year. And, you know, stuff in life just happens. And you know, I believe that everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that. Even the bad stuff. Because I could turn the bad stuff and pull out a positive. Aiden was abused and neglected at the group home. And the one of the attacks was by another resident, and it was a brutal attack. And when I saw my son in person, I cried and wanted to throw up. That's how bad the injuries were. And they just told me, they investigated it, and they said my son did it to himself, which we know is a lie.
Wow.
And so, you know, I asked why, God, why? And I turned it around. I'm very politically involved with the state right now. I have personal senator friends and assembly people friends for the past, you know, 7 years. They're my friends on Facebook. I private message them. You know, I have their cell phones. And they know about Aiden. They know about Aiden's story, you know, for the past, like, 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I go to them and I tell them what's going on, and they want to draft laws to address these situations. And that's what I'm involved in right now. I'm helping draft laws to change things, because that's the only way we're going to protect this most vulnerable population in the state, who is at the bottom of the friggin' barrel, the bottom of the barrel. And they don't have a voice unless we are their voices. Mm-hmm. And so right now I'm advocating to pass the Billy Cray bill. Mm-hmm. Group homes are not required to put video cameras in the homes. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is, mm-hmm. you know, everybody else is. And if there would have been a video camera in my son's home, I would have known exactly what happened to him, because I know my son didn't do it to himself. Mm-hmm. So it's a law that gives guardians the option to have a video camera in the bedroom of my kid or in the common areas of the mm-hmm. home. And we're hoping to get that passed. It's been 5 years already this year. Senator Ed Doerr is the one who's the primary sponsor. And you know, I've been texting him back and forth on this. And I'm actually moving down by Aiden. Aiden's in Sicklerville. Yeah, mm-hmm. we just under contract for a house. I'll be 7 minutes from him.
And we'll have lots of clients for you down this way.
Right. Oh, yeah. And maybe we can all have lunch together or go for drinks.
Right. Yes. Perfect. That would be awesome. I'm in Williamstown, which is, you know, next to Sicklerville. Logan's in Hamilton, which is a little bit closer. And then Megan's down in Linwood outside of Ocean City. So really, we should be going to the beach down there.
You know what? I haven't been to the beach in like 20 years.
We'll go somewhere where you can have drinks on the beach. So therefore,
Oh, yeah. Megan knows those spots.
Beach that party. Would be awesome. That would be awesome. But anyway,
well, I have a question related to, you know, what you were talking about with the laws. You know, there are a lot of us in the field, parents or anyone, some of us don't know what to do or how to help. I mean, you're an attorney, you're able to kind of do these things from the back end, you know, spending 5 years, sorry, there's an ambulance. So, you know, from the back end, trying to get these laws passed, what can us non-attorneys, you know, kind of do to help this along?
Yes.
And the reason why I ask that is because we have an adult program, our voice program. We have one in Marlton and then one in Linwood. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're seeing, it's really hard to get funding. I mean, you know, there are some ways to do it, but we want to be able to, we have these beautiful setups, these beautiful programs, amazing staff that can work with clients 20, 30, 40 hours a week, get them jobs, do the pre-vocational and vocational training, give them this wonderful life where they are living and thriving as independently as possible. And the system's not really quite set up for a business like ours, really, to be able to provide that high quality service. Mm-hmm. So back to it, like, what can we do to try to help get these bills passed and get new laws that need to happen.
Dude, does DDD give you any money to fund your program?
We do get some funding through goods and services. We're looking at expanding what we can take.
So you need more money, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do that too. I don't know if you know the Rucker Center for Adult Autism Services.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Amazing program. Mm-hmm. I'm very good.
We just interviewed Amy Gravino.
Oh, I know Amy.
She works there. We had the best time with her. It was such an incredible experience. We went up there. It was one of our road trips.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous.
What an amazing facility. Amazing facility. So yeah. I'm very good friends with Christopher Manente, the executive director.
Yep.
So they needed more funding. And I went and I toured it, and Chris and I just clicked. And I was like, this is an amazing program, because you don't take just high functioning or low functioning. You take the whole spectrum, mm-hmm. and you individualize their program to them, which I thought was one of a kind. It doesn't exist anywhere else in this state or in this country. So I said to him, I'm going to help you advocate for money. Mm-hmm. And DDD, John Seyfried, that's the commissioner. He kept blowing him off. I go, no worries, let me get involved. And I got involved, and we got our meeting. And, you know, I was advocating on behalf of when my kid turns 21, he falls off a cliff. Let's face it. They've got no friggin' services available like they do before they're 21. And so I would go into the meeting and I would tell my story as a mother of, you know, how what this means. And he pitched it and he got money and he was evil. I mean, it took 9 months, but I got his foot in the door again, you know. And he got his money. Then we were meeting with senators and assembly people to get a line budget item every year for the program because Christopher Menente, that entire program was built on donations. He had no money whatsoever. So we took our show on the road and we set up all, and I did, you know, I know all the, that's how they got to know me, right? This was like last year, the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And we would have these Zoom meetings and I would say hi and I would tell them my story and why, and then Chris would give the pitch. And we were this close, right, to getting the line budget item. And because Rutgers is like the biggest university in the state, they gave them like $13 million or whatever to disperse mm-hmm. all over the place. And they wouldn't do our measly $500,000 line item. But I can help you do that if you need it.
Because I mean, we have this beautiful facility that Megan and Melissa have poured their heart and soul into. Mm-hmm. Making it perfect for our clients. And we have clients, we have them, but we have room for more. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just don't like that we have all of this and these amazing, well-trained, great staff. And we have this great company with this amazing culture. Everyone, mm-hmm. you know, people are very proud to work, you know, for Interactive Kids. Wow. It's like, well, you know, how can we give access to more, because like you said, 21 and over, you fall off a cliff.
So listen, I can't wait. I want to come down there and tour it.
Tour. Yep. You need to come tour it because, really we want you to see it. We work with Durand as well. We know, a lot of, amazing, wonderful people there. We've been in the schools. We've have been in the adult programs. We've worked with them for many, many, many years. Megan and I worked at Bancroft for a long time. So
Yep. Well, I know Judy London and Darren, whatever, Darren Blau.
Darren Blau, yeah.
Yeah. They were advocating for increased wages for the DSP mm-hmm. workers, and I'm a huge advocate for that. So I'm going to jump on board that this year with them. Good. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know we just went on the sidetrack. No, but definitely you're invited to come down. We would love to honestly show off both of our programs to you, the one in Linwood and one in Marlton. We'd be an honor.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I'm so excited.
Add it in with all the things you're doing with moving and, you know, your son and your professional work. Just toss in a little
visit. She's going to be closer now, so.
That's true.
I can just run over and be like, hi, girls.
great.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, my husband needs back surgery. So that'll be scheduled within the next 2 weeks, too.
Good. Keeping it easy.
Yeah, right. Definitely not anything crazy happening.
This has been an awesome experience for all of us. At the end, Johanna, you're going to love this. Every time we do, Logan does her questions. So she's going to do her rapid fire questions. And you just kind of have to, you know, answer them as they flow out of your mouth.
I'm kind of scared.
This is fun. I never did this before.
This is going to be great. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
A four-letter word that starts with J.
Jump.
Your favorite store.
Amazon.
All the stores.
Perfect. You don't have to go anywhere. A tool you never leave home without.
Oh. My glasses.
Stay in or go out?
Out. Every night.
Your go-to lazy dinner.
Pizza.
Favorite hobby.
working. I don't have a hobby. I don't have a, this is my life.
Your favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Your favorite TV show or movie?
Queen, the movie. Bohemian Rhapsody. I could watch that 20 times.
Yeah, that's great.
Favorite rainy day activity? She's going to say working.
No, I'm not. day drinking?
I don't hate that answer. Okay. Your life motto.
My life motto. Never give up. Be relentless. Always have hope.
That's perfect. Beautiful.
You didn't ask me my favorite band. Come on.
What's your favorite band?
Bon Jovi. Woo! That's my favorite song.
Living on a prayer.
We passed
the quiz. Woohoo!
You guys, I have an autographed Bon Jovi guitar.
Oh my gosh.
No way. Wow.
Come on, I gotta show you. I won it at a tricky tray at Aiden's school about 12 years ago. It's autographed by the entire band, and I had a custom-made mahogany guitar case made with a red velvet background. I gotta show you. And a friend of mine is friends with Jon Bon Jovi's brother, Matt, his bodyguard, and I was supposed to go see the tour at the Prudential Center, but it got canceled, so he told his brother, you know, tell John about my friend. He sent me an autographed picture of him that says, Johanna, smile, Jon Bon Jovi.
Oh, my God.
Right. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Wow.
Let's go back.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
It is.
Oh, there's the picture.
Can you see him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice.
My husband's jukebox.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my God. That's beautiful.
Thank you. So I am a diehard fan, just so you guys know. It's my dream. My first dream was to hear Aiden tell me I love you. I got that. My next dream is to meet this man. I've been trying for 20 friggin' years to meet him.
Hey, well, maybe he's going to listen to the podcast.
I don't know. You know, I want to show him my big Superman tattoo because I put it on my left arm because that's where his tiny one is.
Okay.
And I got married at the same chapel that he got married in, Graceland.
Oh, my chapel. God.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. See?
Oh, that's so cute.
Great. I love that.
This is fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. It was so amazing to finally meet you after trying to schedule this a couple times. And I really am excited to, you know, continue to work with you. And of course, our dream would be to one day meet Aiden.
I can make that happen.
Awesome. I can't make Jon Bon Jovi, but you could make Aiden. That would be pretty good.
You guys are amazing. I'm so honored that you picked me to interview me. Mm-hmm. I truly, truly mean that because everything you heard today is Aiden's voice. I'm his voice. And I hope that all your listeners take that with them. This is Aiden. Aiden's the one who allows me to do everything that I do for this population. So thank you again for having me.
You got it. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your spirit and your energy and your fire. I mean, that's really, if I'm looking for someone who's going to represent me, that's what I would like. Who's somebody who's going to be looking out for the best that my child needs. You would definitely be it. So thank you.
That's right.
Right, I need to put my ass.
She's so flexing. She's got some guns.
I know.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey.
Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.